Welcome to another C3 Church Rockingham podcast. For more information about C3 Rockingham, please visit www.c3r.org.au.
I'm so thankful for the voice of the Spirit. Wednesday after Crowd Connect, I was driving home and came to make a turn, and it's one of those moments where I knew if I just put my foot in, I could turn around the corner in front of the car that was coming and it would have been okay. Not courteous, but it would have been okay, you know what I'm saying? Courtesy on the road is so overrated. It's for the patient. But as I'm about to engage, and the Holy Ghost said, not now. I didn't even think. Okay, not now. It's like, teaching me patience again. Got 400 metres down the road after making the turn. Car runs a stoplight in front of me, about 50 metres. I went, man does not live on bread alone, but by every word that proceeds. By every word that proceeds. Some people would interpret what we've just done in the last few minutes as emotionalism and hype and blah, 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 blah. I don't get it. You've got to keep the voice of the Spirit. You got to keep reminding yourself that you've been given ears to hear. And if you don't take moments like this to refine and retune yourself to the voice of the Spirit, I found myself repenting a few moments later that when it all happened and all transpired in front of my eyes, I just went, oh yeah, well that's why he said not now. That's why he said not now. But then I seen the car hitting my side door and me getting knocked about and unconscious and bleeding and half dead. In my mind, I went, oh my gosh. Let me not take the voice of the Spirit for granted. Let me not take the fact that these guys labour week in, week out to come to a place where they can lead us and just get in here Sunday morning and, you know, they get really ticked off over the fact that the first song is basically just filler to allow everyone to get in here. They get ticked off over the fact that every week, by the time we get to the second song, we might have 90% of the people here to worship, right? But they don't let you know that. I don't even think they tell me anymore. They used to tell me, but I said, get over it. Welcome to modern church. And every weekend, you know, Simona, thank you for raising up a team of anointed worship leaders that are leading us into the presence of God. Let me pray for you before we go to the Word. Father, thank you this morning that you do want to speak to us every day. Not just every day, but every moment of the day. You want to give us that whisper, not now. Hold back. God, I pray today that it would be a significant moment for all of us to hear that one word from heaven that will change our life. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. As you take your seat, would you give the Lord a hand? Thank somebody alongside you for smelling so good. Could be worse. They could have forgotten the stuff you stick under your arms and would have made it a little bit less enjoyable to you sitting where you're sitting this morning. I want to jump straight in. My subject, my last opportunity to make a deposit into this series of Paradise or Prison. And one of the key thoughts that we started off this series with is that God uses your job, your career, your business as his primary channel of financial empowerment. His primary channel of financial empowerment. And so you need to pay attention to it. The scripture says in the Old Testament in Proverbs, pay attention to your flocks, which is basically pay attention to your job, to your business, to your career, because that's the primary channel that God will use to empower you financially. Notice I didn't say bless you financially, because most of us need to make the shift that our salary is not our harvest, it's our seed. And if you see your salary as harvest, then you make your boss your provider. You've got to see your salary as seed. It's the thing that God has given you to empower you to go to the next level. So you'll take a portion and put it aside as sacred. You'll take a portion and put it aside for sowing. You'll take a portion and put it aside for investment so that your money can eventually work for you. We've been looking at this whole reality because we've discovered that prosperity is a matter of choice, not chance. And so my last installment this weekend into the series is this, that this whole area of God turning water into wine. We're going to go and look at the story in John chapter 2. We're going to read from the scriptures, but I'm going to need you to help me by just asking, can you look at this with a fresh look today? Can you forget some of the traditional things you know about this story? And can we just look at it with fresh eyes? Can we have ears to hear this morning? All five of us. Can we have ears to hear? Very cool. John chapter 2, verse 1 says, "The next day there was a wedding celebration in the village of Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples were also invited to the celebration. The wine supply ran out during the festivities, so Jesus' mother told him, 'They have no more wine.'" Don't you like Jesus' response? "Dear woman, that's not our problem," Jesus replied. "My time has not yet come," but his mother told the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Standing nearby were 6 stone water jars used for Jewish ceremonial washing. Well, that's disgusting, really, when you think about it, isn't it? I've only just seen it. Eesh, no wonder he had to turn it into wine. That's just wrecked the story for me. No, it hasn't. "Each could hold 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus told the servants, 'Fill the jars with water.' When the jars had been filled, he said, 'Now dip some out and take it to the master of ceremonies.' So the servants followed his instructions." You should probably underline that word, instructions. We know that by the end of this story that the water becomes wine. I'm going to read the rest of it. What you need to know is that wine would have been 2 pallet loads of wine. For those of you that will allow yourself to think this way, I certainly give myself permission, that would have been 2 pallet loads of the very best bottles of Grange. It's like at $1,100 a bottle, that's like really nice pallet load times 2. The Bible says here that the disciples followed his instructions. When the master of ceremonies tasted the water that was now wine, not knowing where it had come from, though of course the servants knew, he called the bridegroom over. "A host always serves the best wine first," he said. "Then when everyone has had a lot to drink, doesn't care what they're drinking, he brings out the less expensive wine. But you have kept the best to last." When you look at this scripture, when you look at the insights, the revelation that is being given to us, one of the first things that stands out for me is that desire is greater than need. And you know, tradition, religion, false religion wants to tell us that when it comes to God providing for us, that you've got to understand the difference between your needs and your wants. But you know what? That's what religion says. That's what tradition says. But Jesus does not distinguish between the two. Actually, the only thing that moves the hand of God when it comes to faith is this thing called desire. Movers and shakers do not live on the need level. We live on the desire level. I don't know about you, but I think I'm called to move and shake some things. I believe this, that you are called to a much bigger environment than you're currently living in, and either that environment is going to get larger or you're going to become so large that you're going to have to rule that environment. Find a new one. Like God has put something on the inside of you that says you're a king, you're a leader, you're an influencer. You were put on the planet to rule and reign in Christ Jesus. Then I see that purpose, God's divine purpose, is not bound by time. Jesus says, "My time's not yet now." But because of the purpose of God to manifest the glory of Jesus, that faith that was inside his mother, I love what my wife talked about as she landed worship there. It's like, even Jesus knows to be smart. It's smart to listen to what your mother says. Even if you've got the right responses, it's not my time. It's not my problem. Even the Messiah knew the power of submitting to instruction of the authority in your life that day. Third thing there is that instruction. Instruction, particularly from the Holy Spirit, is sacred. It does reveal a hidden plan of God. And finally, we discovered that action is the purchase price of your breakthrough. Did you notice that Jesus did not do the miracle? I know what you've been told, but if you would just read the scripture, Jesus did not do the miracle. He didn't even lift a finger. Yes, okay. For those voices that are screaming at me right now. Yes, okay. He released the miracle, but he did not do it. He gave the instructions, but the disciples do the miracle. Action is the currency. Action is the price for your breakthrough. They heard the instructions. The instructions were sacred. But I want to tell you, it's when we act. James says, don't just hear the word, do the word. And in today's society, in today's world, we're all looking for the miracle, but we consider it a lotto. We've just got to be in the right place at the right time with the right people, and maybe I'll get my breakthrough. And I'm actually tired of the church preaching on breakthrough. How long are we going to preach on breakthrough instead of just going and getting it? I'm tired of hearing it. Oh, another breakthrough. What do I need? Another breakthrough. I'm just going to get up, sweat, do the hard work and find my breakthrough. I'm just going to do it. I'm just going to move into action. The media and creative team have helped me emphasize this point today. And so I want you to look to the screen as we turn the lights down and just think about the fact that we need to be people of action.
Do it! Just do it! Don't let your dreams be dreams. Yesterday, you said tomorrow. So just do it. Make your dreams come true. Just do it. Some people dream of success while you're going to wake up and work hard at it. Nothing is impossible. You should get to the point where anyone else would quit, and you're not going to stop there. No, what are you waiting for? Do it! Just do it! Yes, you can! Just do it! If you're tired of starting over, stop giving up.
It's already gone viral, but I just think you should do it again. It needs to do another trip around the world, but seriously, there is a big difference between needs and wants if you listen to the traditional religious voices of the past. But Jesus does not see your life that way. God does not see your life that way. To live on a level where everything is determined by need is to live on a lower level of life than you were designed for. You were designed to live out of desire. You were designed to live out of the purposes of God. You were designed to hear the secret hidden instruction of God and act on that instruction and turn your water into wine. Until you get to the place where you recognize that good is the enemy of great, you won't have what God actually called you to. You've got a good marriage because you've settled for a good marriage. You don't have a great marriage because you've settled for a good one. You've got a good job because you've settled for a good job. You don't have a great job because you've settled for the good job. And Jesus comes along and puts a spotlight on what's going on and shows us that we can be great. You've got a good walk with God. But you can have a great walk with God. You see, false religion seeks to reduce everything we do to the lowest common denominator. It wants us to be conservative, politically correct. Don't rock the boat. Get out of here, rock the boat. It introduces man-made rules to control and restrict you. For example, last week we were talking about the motivational gifts of the Father, and in one of those portions it says, if your gift is prophecy, then prophesy according to the measure of faith you've been given. And religion says to you then, well, you know, just tame it down, keep it back, stay below the line, stay behind the line, don't go too far. But you know what? That's not what Scripture reveals. Scripture reveals when you prophesy, do it in the crowd and do it amongst people, do it where you're accountable and let it be judged. Let everything you be judged. You know why? Because when you prophesy, you're supposed to stretch as far as you possibly can with every ounce of faith that you've been given and even cross the line. It's okay because there's some people there that can bring it back into order. It's like, go to failure, stretch as far as you possibly can, give it everything you got and a little bit more, put some grunt into it. If you want to win, recognize it's you and the man in the mirror. You're right, it's you against you. Yeah. Go as far as you can. Don't hold back. I don't want to have just enough left over. I've been looking at that scripture that says a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. I'm going, wow, a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. What does a great man do? And I'm like, what? Oh, no, I've got to get my game on. I want to be great, not good. You've got to understand that good is the enemy of great. Don't settle for good when God's called you to great. And so when you look at this story of turning water into wine, we recognize that God wants to use the very natural things and put his supernatural touch on them and give us something that is great. And as we look at that today, Mark chapter 11, verse 24, let me just amplify this for you. Therefore I say unto you, it's the authorized version that I'm reading from this morning, so you know it's anointed. Like seriously, you've got to listen because it's the King James Version. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire. That's the very reason why we're reading from this text. That's the original word. Whatsoever things you desire, not whatsoever things you need. Whatsoever things you desire, what you dream about, what floats your boat, what keeps you up at night, what wakes you early in the morning, whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. Desire is greater than need. Don't let anything or anyone steal that from you. Obviously, I'm talking about holy desire. Desire that's birthed by God, but let's not be oversincere of what that means. It's the purpose of God in your life and the desires that flow out of that. Hello, somebody. It's obvious. We don't need to go there. That God's not going to give you those other desires that are outside his will, outside his plan, outside his design, but he wants to give you more than you've given yourself permission to believe for. Second, purpose is not bound by time. God often chooses to fast-track your progress. Jesus said, my time has not yet come. His mother says, do whatever he says to do. Just do it. The disciples immediately follow the instructions. Faith has the ability to reach into the future and bring into your now a future glory. I don't know if you realize that. But we've got to stop allowing that religious voice, that voice of tradition saying, it's not God's timing. Like, seriously. This is what Jesus said. Because of the traditions of man, you made the word of God to no effect. It's no different today. And there's people that will walk away from this meeting more upset over my last statement that changed a whole bunch of mindsets than actually the text. Like, seriously, I'm not making excuses. We've got to understand that God has called us to a much higher life than religion is going to give you permission to live. Like, seriously, like tradition. It's the traditions of man that have caused the word of God to be to no effect. We must get to the place where we realize you cannot fulfill your God-given destiny with a democratic mindset. You cannot fulfill your God-given destiny with a politically correct mindset. You cannot fulfill your God-given destiny if you always want to get the celebration of the crowd, because if you're going to lead the choir, you do need to turn your back on the crowd. God has called you as a king. We've got to break out. We can't consistently live under the pressure of the prevailing atmosphere of the day and the climate of the day that wants to keep everything in a nice little tidy basket. It's not going to be tidy. You've got to break out of this current place of restriction that people want to keep you in. And you know what? You don't have to shift anything. You just need to allow what's on the inside of you to grow stronger, and eventually it's going to shift the environment around about you. Thank you, Jesus. You find here that instruction is sacred. Instruction is sacred. God always has a solution for your problem. Now, when the tempter came to him, he said to him, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. You've got to understand the context right there is this, that God wants to speak to you not just on a daily basis, but on an hourly basis, on a minute-to-minute basis, on a daily basis for your specific for your specific life, and we've got to stop being generalists. We've got to start becoming specialists in our own walk with God, in our career, in our business, in the marketplace. God has a word for you today for that situation, for that contract, for that problem. Hello. For that staff member that you just can't change. You've repositioned them, you've retrained them. Maybe it's just time to retire them, retrench them. God has a word for you, but you've got to be bold enough to act on the instructions. And if you're listening to all these other voices, you're not going to hear the main voice that is sacred. Can I remind us, church, today that the voice of the Holy Spirit, the instruction of the Lord, is sacred, and we've got to hold on to it. We've got to keep it at the center of our life. If we don't shut out those other voices, if we don't stop allowing influence to come in, we will lose the most sacred thing that we have, and that is the instruction of God. We've got to seek the voice of God in our situation. Ask and He will answer. There is no such thing as wrong time. Just let it settle. There is no such thing as wrong time. People that say that are thinking about a God who is stuck in the time frame. He's not stuck in time. He's not restricted by time. But you've got to be brave enough to do everything He tells you to do. 27 years ago, as an early Christian, I had to close my business and put off 15 staff. I placed my family under extreme financial pressure with over $250,000 worth of debt. You've got to ask the question, why did it happen? Why did it happen? Why did God allow that? Well, number one, He didn't allow it because He wasn't fully in control of all the decisions that led me there. But I'll tell you why. I listened to the wrong voices. I allowed my accountant to make decisions only I should make. I did not seek God for the solution. Do you really think your problem is too difficult for God? Do you really think that God is saying, well, I'm not going to give you the secret to the solution until you become a better Christian? Are you serious? Like, some charismatics have made hearing the voice of God so complicated and so complex, they've forgotten that we've got a Father in heaven that loves us and just wants to talk to us. Hello. Hello. Like, seriously. Like, if I want to communicate to my grandchild that is not smart enough or intellectual enough yet to speak words, I just get down and get eye contact and do sign language and do everything I possibly can to communicate to that child that I love that child. And I'm a natural father. Your heavenly Father. Like, seriously? I want to present to you today that the problem is not that there's not a solution there coming from heaven. The problem possibly is you're not brave enough to hear the response that's come from heaven. The problem probably is you're not brave enough to act upon the instructions that He actually spoke because of all the other effects that will happen around about you. But listen, when you get on the other side and the water becomes wine, hello somebody, when you now got two pallet loads of the very best grains on the planet in your possession. That wasn't me wobbling after drinking. It was just like, whoa. Imagine what that would sell for on eBay, for goodness sake. You need to know that He is ready and willing to lead you through to your breakthrough now. And the final thought is that action is the purchase price of your breakthrough. God wants to turn your water into wine. It requires obedient faith. It requires obedient, immediate faith. My wife used to tell my children all the time, to delay is to disobey. It requires possibility thinking, accepting that good is the enemy of great. Wine is intoxicating, calming, and medicinal. Just in case you needed to know. Water is refreshing, cleansing, and life-sustaining. You need water. You need to find that natural, life-sustaining, positive thing that keeps you going along the way. But actually, God wants to take that water and turn it into wine. I'm stunned this morning that when the water was poured into those vessels were previously used for washing hands. Oh. I've become so OCD in this area over the years about cleanliness and stuff. I'm just like, that's just like, but think about it. God wants to turn your wash basin into a wine barrel. Oh my gosh. He wants to take the very natural and transform them into the supernatural. He wants to take the good and make it great. He wants to take your life to a whole new level. He's prepared to do it. He's got the instruction. The instruction is sacred. I got to keep pressing this point. You got to get back to hearing the voice of God for your specific situation. Stop praying general prayers. God, what do you want me to do in this situation? I'm ready to do whatever you tell me to do. Whatever you say to do, I will do it. Will you? Will you? You're going to have to be brave. You're going to have to get your, you're going to have to get your bold on to do what he says to do. So I'm telling you, he's ready to take you from this place of limitation to limitless. He wants to take you to the next level. This series finishes next week and it's going to be phenomenal landing next week with Richard Stretton coming to bring in a download in the morning on doing it in the marketplace. Let me tell you, if anyone knows how to do it in the marketplace as a man of God, it's that guy. That's why I've asked him to come and just, can you come and just speak into this next weekend? It'll be powerful. But listen, this theme is so important. We've got to stop downplaying what we do Monday to Friday. You've got to get fired up about what you're doing in the marketplace. What you're doing in the marketplace should be making a difference. We've got to stop trying to change this generation from the ground up. You know what? We're not going to change world poverty by feeding people on the ground. I'll tell you how we'll change world poverty. By raising up the next prime ministers, the next presidents, and putting them into parliament and getting rid of all the corruption. You change it from the top down. You'll never change it from the bottom up. That's why it's never worked. We've got to get people into government. We've got to get people into the places of influence, into the university. We've got to go there. We can no longer have a 3-year plan or a 5-year plan. We've got to have a 100-year plan. The reason why our nation is in the toilet, here's the reason. Our government has a 3-year plan. They just want to keep themselves in office for the next term. You never build a nation on a 3-year plan. No nation has ever been successfully built without a 100-year plan. And so maybe we do need to have a relook of how everything happens, but regardless, we're not in control of that, but this is what I am in control of. Somebody says, if you want to change the world, somebody said, I think it was a Chinese proverb, said, if you want to make a difference today, plant cabbage. But if you want to change the generation, focus on children. God knew that. And that's why he called Abraham, because he was faithful to raise up his children. You know what we need? We need to focus on our children and where they're going to be going. You might have cut off the tools and you've got a professional job, but don't be raising your children to get a professional job. Tell your children you're going to run for parliament. Hello, somebody. Tell your children, by the time you're ready to go into the workforce, you're not going to have to think about paying off your house because I would have already done it. I can hear voices. It's not unusual. Here's the voice. But they need to learn to value money and work hard for it. I'm not going to make it easy for them. You're a stinge. The first thing you need to do is go back to the mirror, go buy yourself a man clippers and get the hair out your ears and your nose. You've got so stale. You really think. This is for people listening by podcasts, okay? You just help me out. You really think that's what you need to do. You really think that's the Spirit of the Father. Here's the Spirit of the Father. Son, by the time you get there, there's going to be enough in the bank to buy your house. Give your wife a really nice rock. All I want you to focus on is you're going to Parliament with righteousness in your heart. The next generation needs a leader that will lead with righteousness. We're going to change the entire world.
This is the end of the podcast. For more information about C3 Rockingham, please visit www.c3r.org.au or call us on 9524 5055.